Love that song, amen. And my mom sang that song growing up. I enjoy that song. Know every word of it. And one day. Well, it's good to have the Kings with us tonight, and always good to have missionaries with us. And the Kings have been on the field now 13 years, and we've been supporting them for 5 years. And their daughter and son-in-law were in our church for a time, and it's good to have them. And they moved away. Moved away to Missouri, and then now they're in Tennessee somewhere. He's an air traffic control man. And so, but I appreciate the Kings very, very much. I, as a kid growing up, used to enjoy the missionaries coming to our church. And the two churches I was in growing up, both churches, when the missionary showed his slides, because back then it was slides, right? Click, 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 you know. There was not a lot of windows in the church. In fact, neither church had windows. And so the church was really dark, and sometimes as little kids, we would get down on the floor. And in the floor, the carpet, unlike this carpet, it would peel up. So, yeah, I may have been one of the deacon's kids that was pulling the carpet up out of the floor. But eventually that carpet was replaced. My dad helped pay for it, so it was all good. But just remembering as a kid, missionaries coming through and just being fascinated with what God was doing. And then didn't understand everything, but certainly understood the sacrifice that our missionaries make. And Brother King, why don't you come and show your presentation, it's not slides anymore, and preach for us. Amen.
Thank you. Well, greetings. It is an honor for us to be a partner with you in missions and you supporting us. And you know how missions works. It's a dual effort in the sense that somebody to go and you send. If there was nobody that was going, who would you send? If I was ready to go and could not go because of finances or other reasons, but it works together. And we saw some people saved in Albania. Amen. And praise the Lord. And I think someday, I believe this with all my heart, that someday those that were saved by your missionaries, they will come up to me and say, hey, thank you for going to Albania and telling me the gospel. But they will also as much come to you and say, thank you for sending the Kings to Albania. It's all a part. It's all together. And that's the Bible way, I believe. A missionary helps a church fulfill the Great Commission. And so we're glad to be and happy and honored to be a part of this church's missions program. The presentation you'll see tonight is the work that has been done for the last 3.5 years. Praise the Lord, we've seen two works begun now. We've seen people that are taking our place while we're not there. Let me say, they're in their embryonic stage right now. They're very fragile, but we're in contact with them thanks to social media and things, WhatsApp and all of that. And so we're in contact with them. They had a good meeting this morning. But go with me, if you would, on a trip to the country of Albania. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, tonight to the book of 2 Timothy. Book of 2 Timothy. And I'll not ask you to stand just because I'm going to read a big portion of Scripture. 2 Timothy was a book written by Paul when he was in prison. Actually, 1 Timothy was also written by Paul when he was in prison, but he got out of prison there. Second time he was in prison, he wrote this epistle to Timothy, and he wanted to give Timothy a warning about some things. And I hope from this scripture and the message tonight, it will help you and help us get a heart more for what it takes to be a real missionary. Now, I'm a foreign missionary, but we're all missionaries. Amen. We all have a job to do here as missionaries. We're all ambassadors for Christ. But Paul wanted to warn Timothy about some things. And if you look in the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3, listen to his warning that he gives to Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And boy, we're going to see all over our society in this scriptures. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, false, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Boy, we see that a lot. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. There's a message right there. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captives, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live in Christ, godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that as a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Father, we do ask you to bless the preaching of your word tonight. Lord, it's not in me. It's not in anything in preparation, Lord, but it's all in you. It's your word. And Father, we pray that your word would come alive in our hearts and in our souls tonight, God, that we could be challenged toward missions, be challenged in our own lives, that we might live holier and more godly. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paul was interesting. These are so interesting letters to me. That he also wrote in 1 Timothy, he gave warnings of the same thing in chapter 1 and in chapter 4. Book 1, 1 Timothy 1, verse 4, and chapter 4, verse 6 says, he told him, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, Paul gave warnings in 1 Timothy, he gave warnings in 2 Timothy, but he told him in 1 Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine which you've learned. I've told the churches in Albania, and I said, what will keep this church going 10 years from now is doctrine. We're going to be sound in doctrine. And, if we're not sound in doctrine 10 years from now, the churches are just going to look like any other churches that are around. You know, just, hi, how are you? Forget about doctrine. Let's all be just kind to each other and let's do good things together. No, doctrine is very important. But I want to look at the first part of this. He said, take heed unto thyself. We see Paul, when he was talking to the elders in Ephesus in Acts 20, 28, he said, take heed thereto and to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. I want to bring a message tonight for us that we have to be careful of ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves before we go into battle. Now, I'm not saying somebody just saved. You can tell people about Christ. But if you've been saved a while, you know that there are evil men, there are evil people, there are evil things in the world, and we have to watch out for it. We have to watch out what we see. We have to watch out for what we hear because they will influence us. And Paul was telling Timothy, watch out and take heed to yourself. The Christian life is a life of never quit learning, never quit growing, never quit fighting against sin. It's a battle until the day we die. I heard one of a well-known preacher one time say, you know, the first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven is sleep for the first 1,000 years. Because he was tired, he says, because it's always a fight. It's so much to do. And it is. It's a daily fight. People need to see Jesus in us. We're the only hope they have. We're the only ones they have to hear, to see, and to know the gospel. We are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. The Bible says you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. We're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do man, they don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it gives light unto all that's in the house. Make your life, live your life so before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are Christ's ambassadors and ministers. We should be prepared to give an answer to those who might ask about the hope that we have in Christ. Our families, dads and moms, needs to see Christ in us. Paul told Timothy, there's bad people. They want to influence you. They want you to become like them so they don't feel so bad. Listen to me, young people. They want you to be like they are so they don't feel so bad because they don't like it that you're living righteously. That makes them uncomfortable. They want your children. They don't care about you. But let me ask you, how can we help others? How can we help our family if our lives are in a mess? How can we tell others about Christ when all they're seeing is bad things in our lives? We have to take care of ourselves. I'm not trying to sound like, well, that's kind of selfish. You've got to take care of yourself, but you better take care of yourself. You better be faithful to reading the Bible, to prayer, to praying, and doing things that are right for Christ. If our lives are in a mess, we can't do the work of the Lord properly. Amen? It's like, you ever have these tests in school? And I can remember algebra class. I've tried to avoid it. We had a teacher that was Iranian. Nothing against Iranians, but I couldn't understand him. And I couldn't understand algebra. That was bad enough. And then he was speaking in almost a foreign language to me. But anyway, so we would have to answer some questions. Well, I could look at 2x, y, whatever it was, parentheses. And sometimes you could tell, oh, I know the answer to that. Well, that was only half of the problem. You had to show your work. Well, that was the hard part. I know the answer. Sometimes you would, most of the time not. But that you may know the answer, but you have to show your work. You understand what I'm saying? If we can't control our anger, our words, our eyes, or if our lives do not reflect Christ, then we're not taking care of ourselves. One thing we find in Scripture that Paul was telling Timothy was take care of yourself first. The Bible is full of common sense, and to me that's very common sense. I'm going to say something that might lose my support, might get the wrath of many of you on me tonight, and I don't like coffee. Now, amen, right there. Okay, I'm going to preach right here. I don't drink coffee. But some people, oh, let me say this. I like Albanian coffee. Believe it or not, it's only this big, but it's so potent. It's like 10 American cups of coffee. My first cup, I looked at that and I said, that's it? You know, we were visiting a family and that's one of the traditions. They give you some coffee. They give you a little thing of candy and all that. And I did this. I downed it. It was just a little bit. Now I've never done drugs. I've never been high on drugs. But I feel like I experienced it at that moment. Because my whole body went... my heart, you could see it pounding through my chest. And it was so potent of coffee. But I like Turkish coffee. I like macchiato. Things like that in Albania. I don't know why. It's a purer coffee. One of the things, and you might be called to Albania if I say this, but one of the things they do for pastime, we might say, let's go play golf. Let's go, come on over, let's do this. They say, let's go drink coffee. Let's go drink coffee. At any time of the day, walking down through the city, they're on the outside cafes, inside, there's people drinking coffee. That's what they do. And they make that little thing of coffee last for a half an hour. And there's never anybody coming by saying, can I warm that up? Can I do this? No, they drink one coffee and they make it last. Anyway, I said all that to say this. Some people, first thing in the morning, what do they say? Don't even talk to me till I had my first cup of coffee. They got to do first things first. They got to take care of that first. I read someplace where somebody said, be like coffee. Coffee doesn't ask silly questions first thing in the morning. Be more like coffee. And my pastor's the same way. I got to have my coffee. Don't even say a word. I got to have my coffee. And sometimes we got to do the first things. I'm glad an airline pilot goes over his checklist instead of just jumping into the airplane and taking off. I'm glad soldiers are trained before they go out to battle. We have to take care of ourselves, folks. The world needs to see us. I saw this illustration the other day. There were 100 people, and one read his Bible out of this 100 people. And that probably is very typical in this world. One person read his Bible. Everybody else read that one person because they were watching him, because he had the sign, "I'm a Christian." We've had to fly a lot of airplanes, being missionaries back and forth and things. And one thing you always get the rundown on the airplane is the safety things. You know, buckle your seatbelt, and they do all of these things. And the one that kind of bothers me is underneath your seat is a cushion for a flotation device. And I'm thinking, we're flying from St. Louis to Dallas. I don't know of any major oceans in that area, so they have to say that anyway. But one thing they say is your oxygen mask will drop down if you lose cabin pressure. And what do they say? Put it on you first, and then help your child or help your neighbor. Put it on you first. You know, we have to take care of ourselves spiritually. We have to take care of ourselves so others can be helped. After that, you can help the child. To be effective ministers, we need to take care of our own lives. Rely on God and walk in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." We have to learn how to pray. If we know how to pray, we have to pray. One of the hardest things to do for me is to get that quiet time to pray. Satan battles that all of the time. I got to get with God. That's where we get our power. But if we leave our prayer life, then we're vulnerable. We're not taking care of ourselves. We have to learn how to read and study the Bible. I always say, read it, meditate on it, memorize it, study the Bible, do what the Bible says. We need to learn how to overcome sin to be effective ministers. And we need to keep doing those basic things all of our lives. And we always have to be on guard. Always. Why do we need to take care of ourselves? Paul gave some good examples about the evil people, the bad people that want to do wrong things to us, or wrong things to influence us wrongly. But we also have to be aware of the lions. There's lions out there. The Bible says Satan is at, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You ever watch the Wild Wild Kingdom? Now I'm going back a few years. That's what it used to be. I don't know, like the pastor said, the slides. It used to be slides up there. I can remember one time my daughter, right before a presentation, she dumped it. And the slides went everywhere. I did my best. But a lot of them, I was standing this way, upside down, backwards. We got through it somehow. But the lion is out there. And there's lions about. You know what I like? God's illustrations of in the Wild Wild Kingdom. Lions are coming up. And they like to get the water buffalo running. You know, and they're chasing them and trying to find somebody. But I like it when the water buffalo, they stand around in a circle. And they put the women, the females and the children inside, and they're standing around there. And Satan, like a roaring lion, he's trying to get through. But he doesn't want to take on those male water buffaloes when they're ready. And they're prepared, and they got their horns hanging out there. They don't want to get in on that. So they're looking around. Is there a weakness? And they'll charge it sometime, trying to get him to break, trying to get him to run, because that's when they're most vulnerable. Now, I can use that application for the church, too. When the church is strong, the men are in charge. You know, the men are, and the women are right there, and the children, but they're ready. And Satan can't come in and attack the church. But it's the same in our own lives. When we're standing strong, that's when we're strong. That's when Satan cannot get us. But what does the lions do? They look around, and they find that water buffalo way over there who hadn't been paying attention. And he's vulnerable. He's in there. He's scratching his back. You know, he's rolling around in the grass and everything. And there he is. And he's away from the herd. And he's the most vulnerable one. He's not been taking care of himself. And I can use that application to the church as us individual. He hasn't been praying. He hasn't been coming to church. He hasn't been reading his Bible. He's been watching stuff or doing things that are not pleasing to God. And he's the most vulnerable. That's why it's so important. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to watch out because the lions are out. They're going to get you if you're not doing the things that we should be doing. Lions, they try to scatter the herd. We also have to be careful of the wolves, the Bible says. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Behold, I send you forth, Matthew 10:16. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Luke 10:3. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Acts 20:29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Sometimes they come in the form of preachers. Anybody seen that preacher that wants the church to buy him the $54 million jet? Yeah. Yeah, that's... I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but anyway. Sometimes in the form of church members. Yeah, you know that little whisper, that little thing that goes on. And sometimes in the form of visitors. But we have to watch out for the wolves. Be careful. Because when we least expect it, if we're not careful, we'll fall into that trap of rebellion against the Lord. We have to always be prepared. The wolves will get you. Because of Satan, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Satan, lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." 2 Corinthians 11:14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Satan wants to ruin your life. He wants to ruin your testimony. Number one, he doesn't want you to get saved. But after you're saved, he wants to keep you so down and put down so you'll be ineffective and not do anything of the Lord. But it's a fight. All the days of our lives, we have to continue. We have to be strong. We have to continue fighting for the Lord because he wants you to quit. He doesn't want you to continue serving the Lord. In high school, I used to run. I ran track and cross country, and we did all right, little school, but I kind of got my fill of running. And when you run so many miles in your life, you think, I'll never run again unless it's somebody's after me or something like that, dogs or somebody. But I began running about 10 years ago. Again, I wanted to get back in shape. Too far out of shape. I just want the Lord to be able to use me as long as he can. Let's put it that way. I want my heart to be good. I want my body to be good. So I started running. And when I first started running, I didn't run very far. I ran less than a quarter mile. You know, I'm panting. And then I run a little bit, and then I stop. I run a little bit and stop. But eventually, I was running more. I was running a half mile without stopping. Yeah, and then I got up to longer distances. And by the way, I really love having a phone with me and earplugs. Because you know what I listen to? I listen to this church's podcast when I run. Over in Albania and over here, I listen to the podcast. And I love the preaching, Pastor Crawford. And I've even listened to the children's Christmas programs. Yeah. And when I'm real desperate and I'm really tired, I'll listen to Brother Wiggins sometimes preaching if I can't find anything else. And it's good. I love it. And so I got up to where I could run about 2 miles, and then I'd walk for a while. And you know, and then somebody in the church, a group of them, were going to run in a 5K. And I said, yeah, I'll run with you. They wanted to start, if you're familiar with Springfield, Missouri, Drury College, and we were going to run around a loop. And I'll run with you. And in my mind, I thought, you know, no big deal. I'll run. And when I get tired, I'm going to walk. And then I'll run some more, but it'll be enjoyable. So we got out there. And by the way, this is a Kirk King tip for you. Before you start, they got a line there. And if there was about 200-300 people. And they put this thing on your shoe that's the timer. When you cross that start line, that's when your time starts. So if you're way back in the back, your time doesn't start until all those people get up there. And if you start in the back, it encourages you because you're passing slower people the whole time. But if you start in the front, You're getting passed the whole time through there. And so that's for free. That's a little tip if you ever run a 5K, start in the back. And so I got out there and I'm running. And it's okay, I'm doing okay. And we had this long hill that went up to Commercial Street. And I was passing people, you know, feeling good, huh? You know, you're slow, and I know I'm slow. And I got up, and I was tied with this girl that was pushing her baby. This is how slow. She was pushing her child, and we were neck and neck. And I wanted either she to go on farther, quicker, or me to slow down, but I wasn't going to. And so we were kind of tied as we were running. But I got tired, and I said, when I get up to this corner, that's it. I'm going to have to stop. Well, I got up to the corner of Commercial Street, made the turn, and guess what? There were people there with signs and cheering, go, go, don't quit, don't quit. And they're clapping their hands, and I thought, man, this would be embarrassing to stop here. You know, all these people saying, yay, yay. And so, I had to keep going. And, of course, this girl, she's just pushing the kid in the stroller, and I'm dying over here. So we get up to the next one, and there's another hill. Hills are killers. In Albania, everything's flat, so it's not so bad running there. But this is another hill. And I got up there. I said, when I get up to the top of this hill, I am stopping. I get up to the top of the hill, and guess what? Go, go. There's crowds of them. Go. They have signs. Go, go. We're proud of you. I said, you know, I don't see you out here running. You know, this. You think this is easy, I guess. I don't know. And so we kept on. And, of course, that girl pushing her kid, whenever we made that turn to the last part, she just took off. And I hate getting beat by a girl. I never got beaten by girls in my life. But here's a girl pushing her child in a stroller, beat me. And that kind of humbles you a little bit. But anyway, the point is, I made it all the way. I never quit. I wanted to, but I never quit. And let's apply that to our lives, our Christian lives. Sometimes you say, this is too much, Lord, this is too much. I just want to quit. The trials, the family problems maybe, the financial problems, this problem, that problem. Lord, I'm just going to quit. But don't quit. Keep going. The devil wants you to quit. Satan has his... It would please nothing. It would please him the most, to the utmost, if you quit. But it would sadden our Father. He went all the way to the cross. I'm glad Jesus didn't, on his way carrying that cross, I'm glad he didn't just drop it and say, I quit. Now, they had somebody else carry it for him, but he kept going. He didn't quit. He could have. Most of us would have. Probably all of us would have. And said he could have called 10,000 angels. I'd have been calling them. Hey, bring them on down. Let's take care of this. But I'm glad he didn't quit. Take care of yourselves tonight. We know what to do. I've heard your preacher as much as many people. And he encourages you to read your Bible. He encourages you to be faithful in church. He teaches sound doctrine. Listen to him. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the Bible. Take care of yourselves. Be prepared for the fight. Ephesians chapter 6 tells you to put on the armor of God because it's a fight. And Satan wants you to quit. When I was hired on many years back, I worked at a power plant. I started out like this. It was as electrical power plant, a great big 2,500 megawatts. We had four big units, but I started out like that, pushing a broom. And I worked my way up to a mechanic. I was a pipe fitter welder for a while. And as I learned different things, I became aware of more and more dangers in the power plant. I mean, when 1,000 pounds of pressure, 1,000 degree Fahrenheit steam at 2,500 pounds of pressure, you can't feel it. I mean, you can feel it if you get into it, but you can't see it. You can only hear it. It's air. It's so dry. You had to take a broomstick with a rag on the end to make sure if you were going to walk in that area that you wouldn't get burned. But I became aware of dangers. When we're first saved, we learn things. We learn small things, little things. Teenagers, we learn how to pray. We learn how to read our Bible. But now as we get older, we're more into the fight. Take care of yourselves. Watch out. Because Satan is out there and he doesn't want you to succeed. Why else? Finally, because of other people, we need to take care of ourselves. They need to see Christ in us. Take heed. Continue. Let me read these scriptures and I'll be done. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Titus 2:7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. I get a little profit out of it. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the new life that now is, and of that which is to come. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Preacher, I'll give it to you.
Amen. What a good message tonight. Tell you what, we need to continue. Don't quit. Never give up. Satan's a roaring lion, seeking who may devour. He wants you to quit. And may we continue in the fight. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation, hymn 153, I Surrender All, after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message tonight. I pray that you would enable us and encourage us, empower us to continue. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.